The Feel Better Station for Warrington Hospital.
This is Radio General.
Now, the final hooter.
Not feeling the love for this podcast.
Why? What's up with you?
Listen, we did one last week.
Yeah, and it's been a big weekend of rugby league, hasn't it?
But why are we doing it again?
Because we've got to. There's been loads of games. Game after game after game after game. You've done one more game than I have this weekend.
But we did the podcast last week. Where's the break?
We did. No. We don't need a break. We're not like any of these top players. And here's another one. It's another podcast.
You're joking. Not another one?
Exactly.
Everyone's been saying that around the world of the rugby league. And I'll be honest with you, the love has evaporated. Where's the love? Everyone moaning.
Yes, there's a lot of criticism out there,
isn't
there?
You've got Derek Bowman moaning about the referee. You've got Tony Smith at Warrington moaning about the fact Huddersfield didn't play and they've got to play him on Sunday.
Hey, to be fair, Daryl Powell at Castleford has said that it'll be a very much a changed side this weekend when they take on St Helens.
You've got Stevie Ward moaning about the RFL, don't care about player welfare. You've got players in Australia saying we're going to go on straight for the World Cup. Where is the love in rugby league at the minute?
Fortunately, it's with the fans, isn't it?
Everybody moaning.
Fortunately, it's with the fans. We were in Blackpool, we saw plenty of love, particularly on the Saturday.
Yes, there's plenty of love in Blackpool.
Oh, it's a great place, great place. Summer bash, bring it on. It's just a pity that it rained and I was cold.
That was on a Saturday night, but what a great atmosphere from the Bradford and Hull KR fans.
Oh, it started from early doors, didn't it? You know, yeah. From midway through that second championship game, the crowd started gathering, the noise level started cranking up. And, you know, to be fair to Hull Kingston Rovers, they brought thousands, they came over in the hordes. And when you consider that, you know, what's happened at Bradford, the fact that they've got a scratch team by all accounts really, yeah, this season, so many young players.
Their support was fantastic.
Yeah, you've got to check the birth certificates of some of them Bradford players to make sure they're actually old enough to be allowed out.
I know a lot was said about the Hull KR following 4,000, but Bradford Bulls, their fans, they're a credit to the club and hopefully they'll stay behind the cause.
And they had a drum.
He did have a drum and he could actually play it.
Yeah, he's better than that one at Leeds.
He's better than the one at Warrington.
Yeah, yeah. He always struggles him at Warrington.
Yeah, misses the beat. Bit like his team.
Yes.
Don't get Tony going again. He'll blame everyone but his team.
Don't. No. It's been a dreadful weekend as far as Warrington are concerned.
But
two losses.
We're not going to talk about Super League just yet.
Yeah, that's coming up later.
It's all about the summer bash. Magic weekend of advert glory in Newcastle. It's all about the Championship boys lighting up Blackpool.
Yep, and this is why we're on again. This is why it's another one.
Oh dear, okay then.
These lads deserved the record, didn't they?
They did, and it all kicked off with the League One Cup, and what a game that was between Barrow and North Wales Crusaders.
I'll go as far to say I think this was the best one of the weekend, to be
great
honest.
Match.
I mean, it was 20 points to 12 at half-time to Barrow. Barrow had scored four tries in the first half. North Wales Crusaders were always in touch, weren't they? But they just looked like they were going to get out-enthused and maybe out-muscled. Then North Wales fought back to actually lead by 30 points to 20, heading into the last sort of 10, 15 minutes. And then Barrow came back from the dead, didn't they?
They did. They were down and out, weren't they?
Brilliant. Absolutely brilliant. And two tries from Morrow, who's the hero of the hour. I thought that Jamie Dalymore was the real standout player
great
of that
player,
game.
Great player. Had a great performance in the hard lines on North Wales. You'd think in the cup final, if you're going to score 32 points, you're going to win the game. But Barrow just would not throw that towel in. They were determined to win something for the first time since 1984.
They were, and very successful too, and it's really good. And I'm happy for the fans as well, because they took a good 1,500 fans, I reckon. There was a good following from Barrow.
And before Barrow fans start moaning, I'm all about cups here, not leagues.
Okay.
Because the last major trophy they won in a cup competition was when they beat Widnes in the Lancashire Cup.
Okay.
And I think that was in 1983, not 84.
Okay. Well, I wasn't even watching rugby league back then, so you've got to.
Well,
jump
I'm giving
on
my age away, all right.
So you know you're sort of like if you're saying it's a stated fact, then I'll go with you. But if we get corrected by a Barrow fan next week, you know that I'll bring it up.
Let's hear from Barrow winning coach Paul Creary.
If I can start, Paul, by congratulations. I mean, what a fantastic win. What a fantastic advert for League One.
Yeah, I thought it was outstanding. I give all credit to North Wales. I watched the video last week against London and they took London apart by 50 points. and I thought they were very, very, had a lot of quality doing so. I thought the halves were real good. Ryan Smith was outstanding today. I thought the middle worked hard. You know, we're on the back of a real tough month, so we knew it'd be all about mental attitude. It meant us coming back from 10 points down, you know, to what, for the last 20 minutes of the game. But we're capable of doing that. We've done it at York, we've done it at Keighley, where it was a dogfight, and we've come out on top and blasted points at the end. So we knew if we were patient, we'd get some points if we had field position and patience, and we eventually did that.
I thought a real change in that game was Jamie Dalymore. For me, he was the man of the match.
Yeah, he was. I thought Martin Aspinwall for us was probably our rock through in the middle, big massive minutes. We probably used our squad sparingly, the bench. You know, we played in Toronto and had the travel. I thought James Duden was outstanding in his 15-minute spell. I thought Tom Walker and people like that come on, and Danny Abraham, and they give us that life, and they helped us protect, you know, the players that were going to do big minutes. So that worked for us, really. And it was all about mental preparation or mental attitude towards the back end of that game. We could have easily felt sorry for ourselves, you know, after the month we've had and the trips to Toronto and Leeds and stuff like that. We're bashed up at the moment. We haven't trained properly for a month now, just game prep and playing, you know, so little things are going to fade away what we do, you know, marker systems and press from the inside. We haven't really done anything on that, so you start to lose it if you don't have any repeat practice. So for us, it was all about getting the win today. You know, it was about coming here, having a tough mental approach. We knew we'd be up against it. It wouldn't be a stroll in the park. It certainly wasn't that, but we got the win.
And that's all that counts in the end, isn't it?
When it comes to cup competition. I watched Wigan play Sheffield once, and Sheffield won, and nobody ever thought they would win that game. You know, and we were guarding against that, and it wasn't because of the quality, not having quality in our side and not being ready for North Wales. We were. It was totally fatigue. You know, we rested some players. We had five new players coming today, but you could actually physically see us, you know, at times be drained. You know, I thought Joe Bullock had a big stint there, you know, and at times he dropped his intensity, but then he lifted himself again. So, you know, as a rugby player, you've got to have consistency, and I think because of what we've been through as a group, we lacked a little bit of that today. But now we can get back to some normality, you know, preparation for games, training midweek, and get ready for Hunslet, who've appointed Gary Thornton, which is I think it's a great move from them. I think he's a quality coach and a quality bloke as well. So I know, you know, he'll be thinking we're a little bit wounded as well after this game, and he'll have his side ready to take us on next week.
Well, like a bit hungover.
They might not be hungover though by the stage. They'll be all right. Paul Crewe,
they've had plenty of celebration give parties over.
Paul Crewe, top bloke, I will just say this, yeah. You know, I mean, he's gone in there. He was actually telling me as well the fact that all around Barrow now, whereas you used to see Super League shirts, there's kids starting wearing Barrow shirts again.
Right.
Which shows you that the town's on
they're,
the up.
They're on
it?
The up.
They are on the up, and well played, Barrow.
Well played, Jamie Dalymore. Your tip for man of the match, and you got him out the dressing rooms to have a chat with you after the game.
First of all, congratulations. I wanted to have a chat with you because you've been in this position before, haven't you? Four Crusaders, so yeah. There was a bit of a strange symmetry about this game.
Yeah, it was a weird game, obviously. With us coming in after back of two heavy defeats, conceded a lot of points at Keighley. We maybe underestimated them or took them, that's a bit disrespectful to say lightly, but they threw everything at us, and then they tired and we tired and momentum swapped, and at one point we was dead and buried. I think if that 40-20 had been given when Fieldhouse knocked it back in, that would have swung the game for them and killed the game, but we got momentum off that and it changed. But no, credit to North Wales, probably the best team lost. Says that man at match has come for the losing side, so you know, they dug deep there. There was bodies down, and fair play to them.
It really was a game of momentum, wasn't it?
Yeah.
You know, because going into the second half, all the momentum was with Barrow, and the way that you kind of hold yourself off the deck, got in front 20 points to 12, and then suddenly it's 30 points to 12 and you're chasing.
Yeah, weird, mate. Weird, mate. Very weird. Probably a game I've never been in where it's been so much, because we're back at sticks and conceded try, and then we're looking round and you're looking for somebody or something to come, and that 40-20 really sparked us, and we got back in the game. We found ourselves and found that little bit extra, which is what you probably need to win a cup final, and we showed a lot of character there to come back, and it was good.
Where does this rate with your other professional experiences?
Winning cup finals, mate, is what you play as a kid, no matter what you were. I know Holly Wilkes, Martin Aspinwall, even when I won it with Stephen Wilde, the way he spoke about this cup, A lot of people will probably tarnish it as a Mickey Mouse Cup, or it's not nothing to win. But if you're in a cup final, mate, you're playing to win, and you always play to win a cup final. And they spoke about it last night at training, and Ollie said, no matter what, dream about winning, because some players go through, have the best careers that they have and don't win a thing. And so, there was a bit of belief, and it's probably up there. It was a tough one. Obviously, we won with 6 points last year and done it again this year.
I've got to ask you, because you were maybe a late developer from the amateur game. You had a long amateur career, didn't you, before stepping into pros?
Yeah, I was probably didn't want to go down that route. I'd started work. I went into Warrington, and it was a bit too much for long for me, and I didn't feel like I could commit to it, so I knocked it on the head, and I probably should have pursued it as a kid, but you never say never. And then I got the opportunity with Oldham, and it just sort of all developed from there. And then when I got Crusaders, won the league and this cup, and then I won the cup again with them. And then obviously when I come last year, they was already out of this cup, but this year we spoke about this cup, we wanted to win this.
Obviously Barrow's got big aspirations of challenging and going through the rest of the season. I guess that's an obvious statement, is it?
Yeah, today was about getting back on the arse for us. We was probably open to just get a win, and that's what we've done. And we need to kick on now and go neck for neck with Toronto if we can, and see where we end up with when we play them again. If we can go unbeaten to them, that's what we're aiming for.
Who have you got coming up over next week?
We've got Hunslet next week, which if I remember last time we won this match took a lot out of us against London Scholars for Crusaders, and we just scraped home. So next week's going to be tough, but we're going to go out tonight and celebrate as a team.
I don't blame you, mate.
Yeah, thank you.
Congratulations.
It's just proved it there, Parky. It's not just a two horse race in League One.
No.
It's not just all about Barrow and Toronto.
It's not at all.
Hunslet are there.
Hunslet, yeah. And obviously with them appointing Gary Thornton, a very experienced coach at that level. Mm. I was really surprised that he ended up being dispensed with at Doncaster, to be honest.
Right, okay. And obviously Keithy will want to have a say on matters as well.
They'll want to have a say, yeah. Mm. Yeah, their form's been a little bit patchy, it would be fair to say.
Early days, though.
They find themselves down in eighth position. But,
oh, right, okay.
And we've not spoke about Whitehaven, which are in third as well. So it's all warming up quite nicely there.
Workington, they'll have a say in it.
They will, yeah. York City Knights as well.
Yeah, of course. So it's not just a two-horse race. So forget all about just Barrow and Toronto in League One. But well done to Barrow. Cup in the cabinet. I know we say it's about cup competitions. Everyone's saying, oh, League One Cup. But for them guys, it's their Challenge Cup, isn't it? Because no disrespect to them fellas. Will they ever get the opportunity to get to Wembley and have the chance of maybe winning the Challenge Cup?
Well, this is something which Jamie Dalymore said, isn't it? You know, the fact that it's a cup final, and not too often in people's careers do you actually get the opportunity to play in a cup final, be it at whatever level. So
exactly.
You've got to make the most of those opportunities when they come, and that's certainly what they did. And in my opinion, I thought Jamie Dalymore was excellent in that game. He kicked well, kicked three goals as well at a time when the other kicker that started the game was missing him from all angles. And yeah, I just thought that they just had a little bit more nous than the Crusaders on the day, but well played Crusaders as well.
I mean, I know where he's coming from, because during my vast days as an amateur player, I won nothing.
Oh yeah. Well, that doesn't surprise me, to be honest.
Didn't win a thing.
Doesn't surprise me.
And then I look back on my days and think, what have I got to show for it? Nothing. So it's good to see that they're giving the guys in the lower leagues something to aim for.
Oh, I wondered whether you got a point in it all that you were saying. But yeah, I would agree with you wholeheartedly there.
Keeping you up to date with everything rugby league. This is the Final Hooter on Radio General.
Jamie Dalymore obviously happy that Barrow got the job done. Can they get out of League One? Can they snatch the trophy away from Toronto like Rochdale did to Toulouse?
Well, there's two promotion places up for grabs, isn't there? So you'd be looking at them as possibly favourites for the second promotion spot. Although, like we said, there will be other teams in the fighting looking to see if they can upset the apple cart.
Shame that that game wasn't on the TV, by the way.
Awful. You know, it's rugby league's best kept secret, is that, because it's been going now for 3 years, that competition. It's not once been shown on television.
I know. Not good, is it?
It's not, no. I mean, I don't think there's enough championship on rugby leagues that's been shown on television, but that's a cup final. That's the first proper silverware. Let's treat it as such. Don't get me on my high horse. You've done it now, Adrian. Tell you, I'm going to have to have
listen,
blood pressure tablet.
I'm not having any moaning. I'm sick of it.
You know, I'm not moaning. I'm just getting het up.
You've got players moaning about too many games. You've got coaches blaming the referees, moaning about this, that and the other. You've got players in Australia saying they want to go on strike. Enough of it.
Not enough rugby league on telly.
We're having a lot of love on this loverugbyleague.com podcast. To find out who's at, Adrian Jackson and Dave Parkinson talking rugby league. Thanks very much to our friends at Radio General for letting us use the studio. But the reason we're all at Blackpool, it wasn't just for the League One Cup. Of course, we were there for that. We were there for the Summer Bash. Third one, by the way.
Yep.
And it was a bash and a half, wasn't it? It kicked off with Rochdale versus Oldham. Can't go wrong with a greater Manchester derby.
I really enjoyed this game, to be honest. It looked in the first half like Oldham were going to run away with it.
Yeah.
They got 26 points to 8 up, didn't they? And they were controlling it. But I said to you, didn't I, they did this last week against Batley, where they went and got it, so it was 22-10 after 20 minutes and then ended up losing 48-28.
Look, I'm not laughing about Oldham's performance in the second half. I was just thinking about Scott Naylor. I wonder if he was playing bingo.
Oh, he did mention.
After that.
He did mention about, you
must
know,
have took him to the local arcade.
Players bingoed into last week.
Yeah.
Couple of great tries there for Jake Eccleston, who's really making them out there at Rochdale, by the way. He looks a real prospect. Actually went through the academy system and reserves, didn't he, at Warrington?
He
unfortunately, was deemed not good enough at that particular point, but he's gone away. He's worked on his game. He's got himself a position there at Rochdale, and he looks a decent lad.
Let's hear from Alan Kilshaw.
We knew passions would be high, we knew there wouldn't be much in it, and I thought it delivered first game on telly. You know, I was happy that we shut them out in the second half. Thought we defended well second half. We spoke about that at half time, tidied a few things up, and you know, we kicked on. So very pleasing to get the 2 points and win again. You know, we forgot how that feels.
I was just going to say, whatever you said at half time, it seemed to work wonders for the guys.
Yeah, look, we just had, you know, we had to tidy our yardage defence up. You know, I thought we were really good with the ball. We'd made metres and we scored some nice tries in the first half. But even the four tries we conceded, two were off kicks. One we should have, you know, kicked into to Rose Head, and a couple of missed tackles. So I thought we could tidy that defence up. We were confident with the ball, and that proved to be second half. And I thought our goal line D was good in the second half, especially when we were 10 points up. They had a couple of opportunities and we got off and we were really aggressive, and we ended up scoring a breakaway try off that aggressive defence.
What do you make of Oldham today?
Look, they're a methodical side. They're a big set of players. They roll you down the field and they make good meters. And one thing we know is, you know, we've got strong finishes in us, and we felt that they don't finish games as strong. Last week they were, I think it was similar sort of thing last week, they were up, so we knew if we was in it with 20-15 minutes to go, we could see the game out, and that came, you know, that came true.
Good team effort, but he was a standout performer.
I thought Lewis Palfrey was outstanding, our captain. I thought Jake Eccleston really, you know, had some good neat touches, and you know, our pack, Gary Middlehurst was everywhere, and you know, it's hard to single players out. I'll watch it back, but I thought, you know, 1-17 we were pretty good. You know, a couple of them were off, but the others covered for them. So it was a team effort today, and it was, you know, it's a great feeling to be in that winner's circle again.
In the grand scheme of things, how much of a big win is this one?
Well, it puts us 7 clear of the bottom two, you know, and that's, you know, our first probably objective for the season. But it puts us at 8th, I think. So, you know, we want to be finishing in that top 8 if we can. We want to be looking up, we don't want to be looking down. And we've got some teams in and around us to play at home and play in the next few weeks. So we've got Dewsbury to play, we've got Batley to play, we've got Bradford to play, Oldham again, Swinton again. So hopefully we can, you know, take advantage of that and get enough points on the board so we're not getting twitchy, you know, towards the back end of the season.
One final question, first taste of the Summer Bash, did you enjoy it?
Yeah, I didn't enjoy seeing my big bald head on the sky screen so much, but otherwise than that, yeah, it's a great occasion. We've got some big game players in our team and they love occasions like this, and I'm pretty sure it would have been a good spectacle.
You mentioned these big game players, bearing in mind the fixtures you've got coming up, they're going to have to be leading from the front, aren't they?
Yeah, but I mean, we've already seen already this season, haven't we, what Rochdale are capable of. I mean, they fired out of the blocks from League One, actually led the table early doors, didn't they, after the first 3 or 4 rounds of the competition. Then they've come from a long losing run of fixtures to get back in the winner's circle, like you mentioned there. Listen, they've got some really good players, I think, you know, some players that know that level of rugby and can play it. And obviously, if they can put together the kind of attacking movements that they did in the second half on a more consistent basis, then they're going to cause some of those sides in and around them some problems over the next few weeks.
Not been a good week for Scott Naylor. He's been handed a 5-match touchline ban as well. 3 of those games suspended to the end of 2018.
Yeah, did you notice though that this was for an incident that happened right back in round 1 and round 2 of the competition? So it's took them a long, long time to actually investigate and everything like that. I think he can be a bit aggrieved at that, to be honest, because you would have thought that something like that would have been sorted yonks ago.
He's got 14 days to appeal, whether he does or not, we'll see.
He needs to be starting to think about his side picking up wins now, doesn't he, Scott Naylor? And he'll be looking for that.
Without a doubt. That was the first game of the Summer Bash on the Saturday. Big win for Rochdale, coming from behind against Oldham, 38-28. Second game was Holt of London versus Feversham Rovers, and everyone was expecting a closer game this one, Parky.
Well, to be honest, the last time that these two sides met, Featherstone Rovers beat London by 38 points to 18, and you got the feeling right from the off that London Broncos wanted to set the record straight. They were a much better side than that, and they showed it early doors with a couple of tries from Sammer and Williams, and never looked back. I think I turned to you at half time, and it was only 14-0, and I said that has got to be one of the most easiest and simple 40 minutes that I have seen a side play. They looked so comfortable at 14-0. I've never known half like it, really. It was so one-sided, wasn't it? And yet the scoreline was pretty close then. Second half, they did put the points on. I was really impressed with William Bartow. You know, he had a brilliant game. He's had his first year of injuries over the last couple of years at London, but it's nice to see him back and running in some form. Listen, Featherstone, they're going to be absolutely fed up to the back teeth of going to Blackpool, because they never win there.
They don't win there. I know John Sharp wasn't happy after the game.
Oh, yeah. And with all due respect, he's no right to be happy. I mean, they got, I would say in some respects, they got the backside handed back to him on a plate, didn't they?
Yeah, you heard how Alan Kilshaw say some of his big game players stepped up to the actual mark during their game against Oldham. For Featherstone, their big guns just disappeared.
No, it was very difficult for the half-backs and the back line to get into it when the forwards weren't really setting the same platform. You know, Mark Ioane has just signed a new contract there at London and showed why they're keeping hold of him, because I thought he really did take them forward. They had Lewis Bienick as well off the bench, who again looks a big, handy prospect. I thought he was very impressive too.
You caught up with Andrew Henderson. Let's hear what he had to say about it.
Well, Andrew, that was an outstanding performance.
Yeah, I was very pleased, mate. I thought we showed some real intent, and I thought we showed a great attitude out there today. And I'm just really pleased with the boys. You know, I think they did themselves proud today. We've certainly turned a corner since that Easter period, and I think we're just going from strength to strength at the moment.
Well, the last time that we spoke, obviously, you was in the middle of that sort of period, weren't you? It was up and down. You found quite a lot of consistency in it.
Yep. No, we have. We have. Like you said, you know, I'm really pleased that the players have started to come together. I mean, so we had a real stuttering start to the season, and we knew that a lot of that was because we had a lot of new faces, and we had a lot of injuries to deal with, and we couldn't get that cohesion or that continuity. And then like you said, mate, it just clicked, and it was do or die for us, really. We in that position where we're coming in at Easter period, and we had to pick up points, and you know, made some changes, and those guys stepped up, and then since then, you know, again, we've made changes since then, brought people back in, and they've really stepped up and bought in, and I think it's a squad game these days. You're going to need the complement of your squad to get you through, and we're proving that at the moment. I'm slowly but surely starting to get bodies back on the field, which is helping. But yeah, I think today's performance was excellent. I thought I thought defensively we were very good for large periods of that game. I thought some of the attack we showed was nice, and we asked a lot of questions of that Featherstone defence. And obviously some of our kicking game was on point today too. You know, created some try scoring opportunities off some excellent kicks and kick chase. We just had that attitude and desire to want the ball more. And I'm really pleased.
I'd describe that first half. I'd go a bit further. I'd say it looked comfortable. Everything seemed to come easy. I know there was a lot of work going on, but it seemed to come easy, and that's what must be when it's good being a coach watching that.
Well, that's where your halves come in, and you know, whether it's been Pafarangi Bartow or Samet Bartow, we've seen in the last couple of weeks, you know, and the hookers Cunningham and Ackers, you know, your pivotal players, mate, they control the game for you, and they've been excellent, especially William Bartow. He's been excellent, mate. He's been excellent all year, to be fair. And the game management from your halves and your pivots controlling, you know, everything, your game plan, your kicking strategy, you know, they execute that, and they've been doing that really, really well. And that just helps, you know, because if they've got control of the team and of the game, it helps. But also, you know, everybody else is just doing their role really well. That's the other good thing about it too. The middle are laying a great platform. Backs are making their real positive involvements, and then, like I said, the halves are just doing a great job in terms of controlling our game and game management. So, yeah, like I said, all round good team performance again.
I'm liking Alex Walker as well. He seems to have stepped up another level from last time I saw him play.
Absolutely, mate. Look, Alex has got a big future here with us at the club, and he's another London kid that's come through the system, mate. And he's one of the players that I've been really pleased to have seen develop the way he has in the last couple of years. I know a couple of years ago he was really eager to be playing more first team, and he just wasn't quite ready then. And just to see how he's developed and grown as we've nurtured him over these last couple of years, mate, to the player he's starting to become. He's still got bits more work in his game to come, but I'm hopeful we'll see more of him here at the Broncos, and I look forward to working with him further.
I know we've talked about a lot of the development work that's gone on behind the scenes at London. It's starting to bear fruit, isn't it? And I'm just thinking Lewis out there as well. He was outstanding, wasn't he, Lewis?
Yeah, Lewis Beardick, yes, yeah. Sorry, mate, sorry. Yes. Yeah, no, Lewis Beardick, mate, was, again, he's another one who I've not been afraid to throw in. We brought him into our first team environment this year. The intention was him to play probably a handful of games, you know, and just keep playing academy, but train full time, get used to the rigours of full time training. But, you know, he's come in that Easter period and hasn't looked back, mate, to be fair. And if a player's up for it, I don't care how old he is, if he can deliver the standards that we expect, then I'll keep rolling with him. And, you know, he's been immense since he's come into the first team. And he's really, really grabbed it with two hands and took his opportunity. And he's an exciting talent.
Keeping you up to date with everything rugby league. This is the Final Hooter on Radio General.
Player real good brand of rugby leader, London Broncos with Andrew Henderson. He seems to be unearthing some decent players within the London area.
Very much so, yeah. I mean, we talked about a couple there. I was really impressed with the fullback, Alex Walker. He's really come on a bundle since I saw him playing at Lee a couple of years ago, and I wasn't that impressed with him back then. But as I say, he's really come on, and he's just one of a number of players that Andrew Henderson has given the head to this season.
Problem is for London Broncos, if Andrew Henderson and does such a great job, a Super League club might come in and sweep the talent away from them.
It's been shown before that, hasn't it?
Yeah.
You know, I'm thinking, well, Kieran Dixon heading on up to Super League, didn't he? You've got Louis McCarthy, Scarsbrook, that's still running round.
I was on about Andrew Henderson.
Oh, you mean for Andrew Henderson himself? Well, yeah. I mean, I'm sure that he wouldn't mind going to somewhere like Castleford. Maybe one day he played a lot of his career there, didn't he? But doing a fine job there, Andrew, and always one of the best people to talk to.
Hopefully London can get back into Super League. You never know.
You never know. They are building. They're in a good position. You know, they find themselves third on the competition ladder, which at this stage is pretty good. And let's see what the future holds.
One team that are hoping to bridge the gap from the Championship to Super League are Toulouse. They came up with a big win against Halifax. Before we talk about it, let's hear from the man himself, Sylvain Huillers.
Pretty good win today, Silva.
Yeah, I mean, very happy, you know, obviously coming in, and we knew like we could have lost a few spots, you know, and in a comp, you know, so it was an important win, and with like one of the best team of the comp, so I'm pleased, you know, like with the 2 points. Like, I thought our second half it was a little bit scrappy, and we gave them a few opportunities to come back into the game, and so it's something, I mean, then we need to look at and make sure that we could finish the team a little bit better and make sure that we don't give them opportunities. But after that, we defended them well, you know, like they got a few tries off kick, you know, it's obviously that it's an issue a little bit for us sometimes, kicking, and they are to defend, you know, so we just need to, when it's well practiced, you know, we need to adapt what we can do. Look into what we can do to defend them. But no, after that, we're very pleased.
It was a blistering start as well, wasn't it?
It is. I mean, we practiced, you know, a lot this week, a few things, and we changed, you know, our games, you know, because we knew like their defense is very hard to break, and actually scoring 32 points, you know, it's very good from us. So and with our start, you know, the boys put that straight into practice, and it worked. So I'm very happy with that.
Who were the standout players in the coach's eyes?
Well, It's a little bit hard to say like that, you know, but I thought our forwards did a tremendous job, you know, and within what we were asking them to do, as a game plan in our defence. You know, the first rotation, I thought like Clément Boyer was like, they did a tremendous job. You know, but Andrew Bentley, all them guys, you know, in the middle, they were strong for us. So so yeah. But when you look at after I put Sebastian Planas, who's been playing second for us in the centre, and he was outstanding today. You know, so. So no, I thought a second row too. I mean, I can go on, but they were, like them guys were. They, I mean, and I have to say, our 17 players did dig deep. You know, I played Tyler EP. He didn't train all week. He did a warm up. He's got a sore foot. Pushed through the pain. You know, after time, he just mentioned that he was sore and he wasn't very good laterally. So I said, listen, 10 more minutes, give me, and he did it. And he pushed very, very hard. So.
We had to jump in there because he spoke for another 10 minutes. You couldn't shut him up.
Yeah, he was really, really good there with Sylvain. Great to hear from him again. Again, sort of extolling the virtues there of Toulouse. He played a nice brand of rugby, didn't they?
You know, he did.
Tony Morel looks a bit of a handful as a winger. Thought Reece Kearn looks a real good player in the second row for them. And then Mark Carella at the back. He's so classy.
Halifax seems to be in trouble, and then Richard Marshall's got his hands full there, hasn't he?
He does. I mean, but up until that point, they'd actually been in some good form, you know. So, but we've said about there being so many pro teams that are now in the Championship. Mm. It just means that fourth spot, if you like, is always going to be the most keenly contested, isn't it?
And that was the middle game of day two of the Summer Bash, but day one ended with the game of the night. It was Bradford versus Hokie. You could hear Parky and Andrew Henderson struggling to be heard above the noise and the atmosphere coming from both sets of fans. And despite the rain, what a match it was.
The rain probably made the match, to be honest, didn't it?
Seemed to help Bradford more than Hull KR.
Yeah, Bradford just got stuck in from early doors, didn't they? Yeah. Scored in the second minute. And then it was sort of nip and tuck, wasn't it, throughout? You had Heffernan going over for his first try just in that first half. The sides traded penalties and it all got a little bit scrappy. Dane Chisholm put over a drop goal. All Kingston Rovers went back in front. Second half, they managed to settle the nerves a little bit. Thought they got the rise really on Bradford with tries from Abdul and Heffernan grabbing his second, but back came the Bulls and they could never really be shaken off. I think that this says more about Hull Kingston Rovers than it does about Bradford, though, in fairness, because that's given everybody else going into the second half of the season a bit of hope when they're coming up against
Hull. Yeah, maybe they look at that performance and think, well, Bradford found some weaknesses, we can maybe exploit them.
Exactly. And you know, good luck to the rest of the teams, and good luck to Hull KR for the second half of the season, because this is where it gets tricky.
Bradford came within 1 point of getting into plus figures.
Almost. Reached nil, didn't they? They almost reached nil points. It's coming.
Pity they don't get a bonus point, they would have been there.
I know, it's coming though, isn't it? It's coming. Yeah. They're playing Dewsbury, I think, this weekend, so they'll be fancying the chances.
They will do, because Dewsbury are playing well under Neil Kelly, though.
Yeah, well, they just want to play badly every week, don't they?
Every week, yeah.
Because when we spoke to Neil Kelly a few weeks ago, he was saying he'd just been in charge there for about a week, hadn't he? And they'd already played badly twice then, hadn't they?
One in the Cup, one in the League, won both. And they made it a hat-trick with the final game of the Summer Bash. Wasn't a great game, but, you know, it was exciting enough to keep your interest.
The first 40 minutes is a 40 minutes that I don't think anybody will ever get back. There was drop balls, neither side looked too interested, and yet it was 8-4, strangely enough. Batley actually scored 3-1 against Dewsbury with those kicks where we said it was negative tactics, actually winning the day, really, as far as Dewsbury were concerned. You know, Glover kicked 4-4, and then Sykes, who in the morning hadn't even been picked, he wasn't even going to be playing, he was actually struggling with a leg injury, I found out afterwards, he comes off the bench, drops the winning goal, and then kisses his badge like he's never played for anybody else. Lovely stuff.
Neil Kelly gets a bragging rights for the Rams in that heavy woolen derby.
Definitely. But I know we sort of like did say that it was perhaps the poorest of the games that were of the
win's
weekend.
Win's a win, we don't care.
A win's a win, that's all it counts.
That's all that matters for Neil Kelly and the Dewsbury Rams in their fight to survive in the Championship.
Very much so. And they'll take some confidence from that, won't they?
The final day of the Summer Bash kicked off with Sheffield versus Swinton. And this was a humdinger.
Oh, I really enjoyed this. I thought it was Matty Fozard, to be honest. That was the difference between the sides. He scored a couple of tries, to be honest, for Sheffield. Really impressed. They've still got a half-decent back line, haven't they, Sheffield?
Yes.
But Swinton just wouldn't be shook off. It was almost like they got the winning margin. And then Swinton just said, right, I tell you what, we'll have a real go now. And they really did shot Sheffield in the last 10 minutes, but couldn't quite turn it around.
Sheffield hanging on for 30 points to 24, gave Jack Owens a debut. On loan from St. Andrews. How did you feel he went?
Quiet, bit of a quiet debut, but
I've played for 8 weeks.
The first game's always going to be difficult, isn't it? You know, you're moving into a different team where they're calling the moves different, or they might have slightly different angles that they run. Listen, I'm sure he'll settle in.
Let's hear from a happy Mark Aston, nip and tuck at half time. What was your thoughts at that point?
Oh, listen, I said a few words at half time. I didn't think we had his rhythm. I thought we were playing as individuals and we needed to play as a team. And I thought that 30 minutes of the second half, we certainly did that. We stuck to the plan. We had a little bit more rhythm about us or something at the end of the sets. And when we get opportunities, yeah, we can score points. There's no doubt about that. But you need to do it as a team and as a collective. And I thought we did that. And I thought then we got in control of the game, won the arm wrestle, got back in control of it. And then we went soft on ourselves, which is something that we've seen in our lockers for the last 6 months, and it's something that winds me off the clock. I just told him, you do my head in, but look, the most important thing today was getting the result and the win, because we haven't won here before, so we wanted to savour that experience.
I'm going to say that last 10 minutes was being torched for you when Swinton were coming back here.
Yeah, because the thing is with Swinton, they can score from anywhere on the field, and we played them 6 or 8 weeks ago and we were total control again and we were beating them by 20-odd points. And in the last 10 minutes, they score like that, because these are one of the best teams in the competition with the ball in hand. No doubt about it. Juffy's done a great job with them, Stu Lillard. The brand of football and how close they play into the line and the detail. And if you're not honest, they can rip you to pieces. So, you know, I thought we handled that for 60, 70 minutes. And I thought that just last 10 minutes, when I changed a few things about, fetched a few people off, I thought we looked a bit raggy. You know, they got a bit of momentum. Should we have took them 2 points? You know, should we or not? Because they got the ball back from that. Then they got the momentum. You've got to find a way of wrestling that momentum back. They wrestled off us, and then we didn't see it for the last 10 minutes, which is how the game goes.
Keeping you up to date with everything rugby league. This is the Final Hooter on Radio General.
I don't know who can talk the most, Sylvain Huillers or Mark Aston.
He's always good value, isn't he, Mark? Excellent, excellent. But great to hear from him, and a good win in the end. I think he was extolling the virtues there of Swinton, wasn't he?
He really was. Swinton gave it a good go, but Sheffield got the win. Can they make the top four?
It's a massive, massive
doable
act.
It's doable for them.
It's a massive ask. The top four currently has 22 points. They're 8 points behind as it stands at the moment. Right, okay. So they're 4 wins behind everybody else.
Maybe,
but it's highly unlikely. I think they're just going to be happy with having a club in Sheffield next year.
Anyway, while the summer bash was going on for the Championship boys, Super League had 2 rounds. One on the Friday, one on the Monday, for everyone other than St. Helens and Huddersfield.
Do we have to talk about that? Tony Smith
you're
doesn't
joking.
Want...
No.
Yeah.
Tony Smith doesn't want to talk about that.
Yeah, but unfortunately all the talk in rugby league's all been about the double header. Everyone's saying it's Easter weekend part two.
Well, it is a double weekend of fixes, isn't it? Which is always going to be tough. It is going to be tough. I know we've had this conversation.
We have.
But the players do have a point. The fact that they've got bash to high hell on Friday and have got to turn out on the Monday. Yes, it might have happened in days gone by, but there was closer spaces between players, as we've already spoken about. Maybe the ball didn't travel quite as far. There could be 100 other reasons, but, you know, let's just be honest, the lads got on with it in the end.
There were some great performances. Castleford were outstanding, pushed all the way by Widnes, by the way, who came up for me with the result of the weekend by beating Leeds on the Monday. But a brave effort against Castleford on the Friday, and then Castleford blew away Lee on the Monday.
Can I give a quick word to Lee, though? Because they did actually manage the first ever away win in Super League at Hull, of all places.
No one saw that one as well.
So, you know, a bit of a mixed weekend, and they did quite well. A couple of tries for Matty Dawson, a couple of tries for Attila Vey as well, you know. So
Wakefield continue their recent good form as well. Big win against Wigan.
I like the rugby that Wakefield play. There is something of a risk-taking element to their play, and they score tries out wide, so they obviously move the ball into the right places. Great weekend, like you say. There's very few sides that will go to Wigan and actually win at Wigan this season.
more headaches for Warrington, 40-0 against Leeds, and then it's backed up with a 38-12 drubbing at the hands of Salford.
It was all going so well for 20 minutes at Leeds,
was,
and then
wasn't it?
What
was
about
it,
the next
same against Salford?
Was really, was that, so it was like carbon copy, was
carbon
it in
copy,
some respect?
Yeah, 10 or 15 minutes, and then they lost quite heavily.
I have to admit, I was impressed with the way Leeds went. Matt Parcell scoring a hat trick. You mentioned there about Castleford being ultra impressive against Lee on Monday. Greg Eden, 4 tries he scored, and three
can't
of them
stop in, scoring, can he?
3 of them in 5 minutes. I think he scored 28 tries in 17 games
can
this
we,
season.
Can we mention Billy Slater then?
No, because he's a winger. Billy Slater's a fullback.
All right, Eric Grove.
Well, no. Proper why? Winger. Give him the ball and he'll score a try. That's
is that
Greg
what the
Eden.
Lee fans are singing now, is it?
No, we were like, get him off. Take him off, give us a chance. That was it.
Okay. Oh, of course, Castleford fans were singing it, not the Lee fans.
The Cast fans were delirious. They were loving it. I think they like coming to Lee, though, because they've got a good record there, haven't they?
Salford as well going great guns. 50-odd points against Castellans on the Friday, backed it up with the 38 against Warrington.
And a great gesture shown on that Friday, because obviously it came in the aftermath of the horrible atrocity that happened in Manchester. And Marwan Kukas threw open the doors. He said, come in, the tickets are free, but you've got to make a donation to the Manchester cause. And they had like nearly 5,000 people come over, so that, again, that's really good. And they were treated to champagne rugby league, weren't they?
I suppose Huddersfield were glad they didn't play on Monday, having lost to Wakefield 28-26 on Friday. But for Wigan, for St Helens, surely they were the ones to play on Monday. Bearing in mind they beat Wigan 22-19 on Thursday.
I have to admit, I really enjoyed that derby game between
cracking
St Helens
game.
And Wigan. Absolutely brilliant. I mean, to be honest, St Helens didn't make a break on Wigan all through the night, so how they won is beyond me. But they had a great kicking game, didn't they? And
new coach
managed to score. He's got a 2-from-2 now.
Yes.
They'll be saying, why didn't we sign him at the start of the season? They'd be up on top now, wouldn't they, with Cass?
Oh, I bet Sean Wayne's fizzing.
Probably.
Bet he's not happy.
He always is, though. He always is.
He won't be happy with those 2 defeats.
No, but again, Wigan's managed to blood some youngsters. We talked about earlier in the show about teams bringing young players through, and Wigan just continually do it, don't they?
Yes.
They had another lad on debut who scored a try on Monday. And, you know, fantastic. They just uncover them and they do well, don't they?
Salford and Castleford leading the way in Super League. Can they stay there?
Well, we've been waiting for it all to blow up, haven't we? And it's not done so far. So I would say yes, they're definitely going to be in with a shout come the business end.
This is what we wanted 20 years ago, everybody winning everybody.
Absolutely.
The only ones who are mourning are the big guns.
It's great. It's great. I want more. I want more. Never mind another one. Let's have another one. I'm happy.
Let's hear from Matt Flanagan as we get out of here. Matt Flanagan's performances go, you must be happy with that.
Yeah, I'm very happy. Yeah, it's two impressive performances over Easter when this short period when it's 4 games in 2 days. I thought we were great today. We did the tough stuff early. We completed high, and then we had some special players who came up with some special players during the game. And you know, I thought Toddy and Rob Lewis were outstanding today. And you know, Dobbo's probably been our best player this season. And to give him a rest, and which he definitely needed, and be able to bring Toddy in, we didn't miss a trick, and I thought the full 17 were brilliant.
Warrington give it a test in the opening 10, but once you went through the gears, you just left Warrington in the slipstream that first half.
Yeah, it was tough early doors. Yeah, I was blowing after about 15 minutes, but probably they're lacking a bit of confidence at the minute. I think we're high on confidence, and I think it showed towards the back end of the first half and certainly the second half. But you know, they're a quality team, and I'm sure they'll be there or thereabouts come the end of the season.
You scored some quality tries out there, the well-taken hat-trick by the young lad Evolds.
Yeah, that left edge has been our strike. Robbie created some good stuff, as did Toddy, and you know, Niall's a great finisher, so he was able to get over for a good couple of tries.
You mentioned the fact it's your second game in 4 days, but it's played at a fast pace and your energy levels were quite high.
Yeah, every game at this level is high energy and it's tough. And you know, I think probably towards the back 20 minutes, he gets a bit sloppy. But you know, there's a lot of lads that are tired out there. But you know, you got to front load your energy and put it in early doors, and then you can reap the rewards later on. And he certainly did that.
So you're playing a good brand of rugby league at the minute.
Yeah, I think I'm pretty biased, but I think us and Cass are probably the best teams to watch on in terms of playing attractive rugby. And we've got so many skillful players that as long as we do the tough stuff early and earn the right to play. I think we're pretty good to watch.
Still a lot of rugby league to be played, but how far can this Salford team go?
Sky's the limit, I think. I think we've proven that we can match anyone and beat anybody in our day, so I'd like to think that we're going to be ambitious and we're going to strive to win silverware. I think Salford haven't probably been up these dizzy heights in years gone by, but there's no reason why we can't win some silverware this season. That should be our aim.